Hi, everyone. It's Countess Luann from the Real Housewives of New York, and I'm on Hollywood Raw talking about all kinds of things like paparazzi pictures, Fosé all day, Real Housewives, and of course, why we love New York City so much. See you soon.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey, guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glenn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glenn.
What's up, Dax?
What up, butter? How are you?
I'm good. I say, what's up, Dax? Like, what's up, Doc? But what's up, Dax? I know. So stupid.
Just keep going.
Okay.
Just move forward.
Welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast, where we like to say reveal the fourth wall of Hollywood. Today's podcast is very exciting. We have Countess Luann on. Luann from The Real Housewives of New York.
And we've tried to get her on for a while. She's one of the very popular housewives. Like, everyone's trying to lock her down. And I saw her do one interview. I was like, we need to get her. Come on. Other interviews. Get her on here.
I'm excited to talk to Luann. Before we get to Luann, I want to ask you, Dex.
Yeah.
Because your background, you have more than a decade experience in news journalism. Your job was pretty much being a photo editor, when you used to work as one job, saying you look at all the paparazzi photos.
What did you say?
You were like a
at TMZ. Editor. Did you not want to say TMZ?
No, I didn't want to say him.
Yes, I was I was in charge of all the photos coming in and out of TMZ. Yes,
you saw all paparazzi photos. You were lunging the first wall of defense, saying, "Hey, we should use this photo. We shouldn't use this photo." But you saw all the photos. Now, there was a lot of angry people. With the Bob Saget funeral photos. A lot of people are commenting saying, this should be a private thing, paparazzi or dirtbags. What is your take when you saw the Bob Saget funeral photos?
Well, I knew Hollywood Raw was not going to be posting them. I mean, that was one thing that I'm adamant about not posting that stuff. The weird part is we live in this society where, you go on Facebook, people are posting photos of funerals or at memorials. And it's a tough call. It really is. I think that there's going to be an outlet out there that posts them. And whether you like it or not, it's news. If you remember back to Michael Jackson's ceremony, I remember helicopters flying around, news cameras watching them pull the hearse into the cemetery. I mean, it's funny. It's like, if it's a paparazzi photo, it's not welcome. However, if it's a Channel 4 news helicopter live streaming it, suddenly it's okay. It's a weird paradox where people want to know that it's happening. They want to know all the celebs that went to it, but like, don't show it to me because then it feels gross.
Yeah. It's funny because I saw the New York Post post the photos from the funeral holding the casket, and then the comments were just very against the New York Post. And I'm like, did they do the right thing or didn't do the right thing? And you're right. People kind of want to know who showed up, but then
they want to know. They listen, they're reading and they're like, oh, look, John Mayer was there. Oh, look, this person, and it's like they want the information, but they don't want to know how the information was found. It's like eating a hamburger. I don't want to see the cow that it came from. I just want the hamburger there. And I feel like that's what people feel like with paparazzi photos. They enjoy paparazzi photos. They want to look at paparazzi photos, but like, I don't want to know how they got made.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that. It's such a touchy subject and it's weird. I know we didn't want to touch it because we didn't know if we,
it's just like, it. what that's not going to help. It's just going to piss people off, and I feel like there does need to be a certain line of, let them have their day. We don't need to post photos of this moment in time when people are grieving and sad. And, so for me on my platform, no, we didn't need to post them.
But when you worked at TMZ, you were the one looking at, you know, the Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. You were just like, hey, Bolt, we have to, like, we have to show all this.
Yeah, it's a different platform. I mean, TMZ is a different platform, and, you know, things that they get away with, other people don't. And I think they needed to be done in a way where it was shot on public property, but yeah, people want to see it. At the end of the day, there is a large curiosity for that kind of content.
Yeah, speaking of paparazzi, though, I'm curious how many paparazzi are waiting outside Britney Spears' home every day right now. You know, she's the big shot after
that many.
Her sister. I mean, her and her sister going at it, it's a pretty big news story.
Yeah, so but Britney doesn't leave like she used to leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, she used to go out and drive around daily. Now she doesn't leave that much anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. She's almost imprisoned in her own home. Like, she just doesn't leave her home. Her and her sister's situation is just getting crazy. You know, obviously her sister's promoting a book. Britney thinks that Jamie's trying to sell a book through her. So there's a lot of public.
Well, she is trying to sell a book through her. Let's not sugarcoat that. She is using the Spears last name to champion this book. I do feel like there is a level of, you're the sister, you're being just battered in media, and you want to be able to stand up for yourself. And, you know, you got to realize Jamie Lynn was very young when a lot of this stuff went on. So, like, can you really throw that much shade at Jamie? Like, why didn't you help out Britney? She was young. She was like a child, you know. What the hell was she gonna do for her sister? So I feel that she is getting unnecessary hate. And then, you know, people want to always back the celebrity at the end of the day anyway. So she's going to be the villain anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm curious how the story is going to end with these two. It's just a wild situation. It's very public right now. Every single day, I mean, throughout the day, you're just getting updates on them, you know, like fighting through us, like we're the middlemen. So it's pretty crazy and wild.
Oh, I just got an alert. Countess is in the building.
Yes, Countess.
So let me read a review real fast. A little shout out to someone who left it for us. All right, review, please. All right, this review is from LB Red. It says, love these guys. Great podcast. Dax and Adam ask great questions, and I love their commentary after their interview. After they interview their guests, I listen to a lot of pods, and this one is one of my favorites. Well, thank you, LB Red. I appreciate it. Adam appreciates it. Pat, our producer, appreciates it. Her dad appreciates it. We all appreciate you guys taking the time. So
appreciates it. Thank you.
So just want to give you a quick shout out. We love reading your guys' comments and reviews. All right, let's get to Countess Luann, because she is reality star royalty. She is one of the stars of the Real Housewives of New York. She's been doing it for seasons and seasons. She is one of the legends on that show. Countess, welcome to the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're in New York now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I saw so many paparazzi photos of you during the holiday season. I felt like you were on this long vacation. Where have you been the last few weeks?
I've been actually on the beach in Tulum, Mexico, with some girlfriends of mine. We did something called Bikini Boot Camp.
What is that?
Bikini Boot Camp is where, you know, you have yoga and meditation and clay, you know, mass baths and sweat lodges where you send your prayers to the universe. You know, a lot of very holistic healing kind of events that happen at the hotel. And so it's one of my favorite places. A girlfriend of mine happens to own the hotel. And so I always meet a couple of girlfriends down there, and we do Bikini Boot Camp for a couple weeks and get healthy and get some sun and relax. I just gotten off tour when I went down there, so I was really looking forward to it, and it was awesome.
So we have a totally refreshed Luann right now. How are you feeling? Amazing.
I'm feeling good. You know, I'm
you
feeling
look good. Yeah,
thank you. I'm feeling, you know, rested and relaxed, and I'm happy to be back in New York. Here go my the window washers are coming up the building right now. It's like only in New York.
Is that awkward for you guys? Because I live in LA and I know both you and Adam live in New York. Is that weird when you have people just kind of popping their heads in? Because I got to imagine that's one of the most voyeuristic jobs on the planet.
Yeah, right. It was funny, actually, while we were filming The Housewives, I had Billy Stritch here, who's my musical director for Cabaret. And he's sitting here and he's like, oh, my God, here goes two guys. And they're like waving, you know, only in New York.
So speaking of Cabaret, how has COVID affected, you know, your Cabaret? You know, it's affected a lot of people, but how has your performances, you know, how have you been dealing with all of it?
Well, you know, I was very lucky because a lot of my shows started at the end of November and into the first weeks of December, before kind of Omicron like was back. And so I got in like 14 performances just in the month of December. And then, you know, I almost made it to the end. And then my road manager or one of my people got COVID. So we couldn't make our Florida shows because, you know, he's just an integral part of my show. So we couldn't do it without that one person. So we had to cancel three shows at the end of December, right after Christmas. But, you know, all in all, I did 14 shows out of 17 just in the month of December. And I felt very grateful that we were able to do that. And, you know, and so were my fans. They were just, you know, hoping and praying that nobody got sick from our group and that we could perform, and it worked out. But then again, you know, we had to cancel three shows. So I did a lot of shows in December, and you know, I'm hoping that I can go back on the road in the spring.
Yeah. What is your plan? Are you're thinking spring moving forward? I mean, God, the Omicron is brutal. It is so contagious. It's like everyone is getting this, but you're looking for spring moving on.
I'm looking at April shows moving on. I know for sure I'll be in New York in April. I'm going to be going to Canada, I hope, and out west, out to LA. And so I'm looking forward to that.
Do you, when you perform, like the day of your performance, do you have a usual routine? Like, are you like in total stage mode, or like what's your normal day preparation for a show?
I really, you know, just do vocal warm-ups and relax, you know, try to just have a day that's just restful. And because I was doing shows back to back every night. So, you know, winding down at the end of the night and trying to get to bed early and, you know, and just doing vocal warm-ups and, you know, reviewing my script and, you know, but after 14 shows, it's like I'm on autopilot, you know? It's been, you know, it's been amazing and just really, you know, kind of just relaxing and mentally prepared.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You, you're originally from Connecticut?
Yeah, I grew up in a small town in Connecticut and, Berlin, Kensington area between New Haven and Hartford. So right in the center of the state. And I moved to New York when I was in my early 20s. And then moved to Europe and stayed for a long time. And then, you know, came back and found the Housewives.
Wow. How did you in Europe, where was your, like, if you said someone, I've been to Sweden was the only place of all places. Where was the best place to live in Europe?
Well, at the time I lived in Milan. I lived in Italy because I fell in love with the Italian culture and lifestyle and the food. And then I got married and moved to Switzerland. So, but if I had to move to Europe today, I'd probably go to France.
Where's your favorite place to travel just in general? Like, because, you know, a lot of people haven't seen the world out there and you've been to so many places. If you could have one place just to travel, and I'm not talking living, I'm just, if you could recommend, hey, get in a plane. If you ever have a chance, this is where you should go.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh, there's so many places. I would say the south of France is one of my favorite places. You know, just doing that coast. You know, the French Riviera, which then leads to the Italian Riviera, you know, you can hit like so many countries in a day, you know, just traveling down the coast of the Mediterranean and, you know, and be eating different food and experience a different culture just, you know, from the time that we drive from New York to the Hamptons, you know. So it's pretty interesting and, you know, culturally interesting and just, you know, I always say to girls out there, because girls are like, we can't meet a guy. We can never find a guy like New York, L.A. I said, you know, get in the car and go to Europe, you know, because it just seems like, I don't know, the lifestyle is just more, I don't know, relaxed in terms of that, mm-hmm. like dating and guys aren't afraid to come up to you. And yeah. you know what I mean? It's a little bit more relaxed in terms of sexuality. I don't know.
No, for how sure.
How often are guys hitting you up?
Oh my God. I actually had a dream last night. There was like at this party and like three guys who were gorgeous were hitting me up. But that wasn't a dream, unfortunately. you know,
like are your DMs blowing
up? I'm just remembering this right now. You know, I was in Mexico and there are people from all over the world. That's another place that I love to go because you have travelers from all over the world in, you know, Mexico. And I love that, you know, I love the, I love the Mexican culture also. And I love the food as well. But, yeah, there were some guys, you know, in Mexico and, me and my girlfriends had a really good time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, so what is your, what is your dating status? Are you just actively dating? Are you seeing anyone? I'm just curious.
You know, I'm really not seeing anyone in particular. I'm just, I was so busy with my shows in the fall that there was like, forget about it. And so I thought, you know, when I go to Mexico, it'll be my time to like, just relax and, I'm sure there'll be some guys around and there were, and I'm just, you know, I'm just dating and not really seeing anybody. So, but looking forward to that. Cause I, you know, as you know, I like being married. I've been married twice and I've, you know, had long-term relationships with Jacques and my French boyfriend. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, what's next in terms of relationship for me.
Are you into younger guys? Like
is that not really. I like age appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how are you, how do you meet people? Like, I know you're saying Mexico, there were guys around, but like, I find like there has to be so much pressure when you are a celebrity and you are a famous face. With dating is a whole different ball game in my mind for you. Cause you're like, mm-hmm. actively going, is this person into me or are they into my star or what are they, you know? So how do you meet people?
You know, I, well, specifically on this trip, I think a lot of people didn't know who I was, which is fantastic. You know, I love that because I don't want people to be interested, obviously, because of, you know, who I am, et cetera. And so a lot of people didn't really realize. And, you know, I prefer it that way. You know, I haven't really met anyone that's like really interested in me because, you know, I'm a housewife. In fact, I think oftentimes that's a turnoff because, you know, my life is so public, you know, and a lot of people have skeletons in their closet. So, you know, why would they want to put their life out there just because mine is? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we, you know, can, you know, it's often not the best thing for me in terms of dating. That's for sure.
In the past year, what would you say you're the best date you've been on was? Like, I feel like when I think of you, Luann, I think guys are really kind of going all out when they put you on a date. Like, Dax, I've seen Luann in New York City. She's tall. She's beautiful. She stands out in a crowd. So I feel like when guys see you, they're like, man, I'm going to bring my A game. So what's the best date a guy's brought you out on?
The best date. Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess it was probably the opening of Phantom of the Opera with mm-hmm. Andrew Lloyd Webber actually being there, being the DJ.
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
Yeah, that was, you know, to be at the opening of Phantom and after COVID and the theater's back. And it was just beautiful. I had never seen Phantom of the Opera. So for me, it was just magic. And, you know, being with Andrew Lloyd Webber at the end of the night, was pretty amazing too. So I was impressed.
That's a good one. And then that one just that date fizzled out after that, or what?
What's that?
I said that date fizzled out after that.
No, not yet.
Okay. All right. I like. And what would you say is the biggest turnoff a guy could do, like, on a first date?
Chic, c'est la vie. C'est bon. Texting on a date. If you make it a lady wait, she'll take a pass. my music, right? Oh, I can't stand people that are on their phone. I mean, it's just so rude, right? It's like, I'm sitting in front of you and you're going to be on your phone, really? Yeah, that, and, you know, just not being able to behave like a gentleman, you know?
Absolutely.
So you are now a reality star. You're a reality show veteran. You're a housewife legend. You know, if you could do it all over again, what would you do? How would you do it differently?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I just think life's gives you the twists and turns. And, you know, I was in Milan. I was slated to go to California to become, you know, Hollywood actress because I was working in television over there. My agent's like, now it's time for you to go to Hollywood. You're famous in Italy. Now you go to California. This is how we do it, blah, blah, blah. And then I met the Count. And I fell in love, and I never made it to Los Angeles. But, you know, part of me, you know, I do act. I do scripted things. I've been on Law and Order. I've been on Royal Pains and other things. So, you know, what's next for me? I'd love to do a scripted show also, you know. You know, Bridget Everett's got a new show, which is a big hit on HBO now. So I was so happy for her. She's actually been in my cabaret show, came as one of my guests once, and I'm so happy for her, and Murray Hill, who's a really good friend of mine. So yeah, I'd love to do some scripted, and, you know, if I had to change, you know, I'd be doing more acting than reality.
Sure.
And how did you
hosting late night show, late night with Lou.
No, I love the, like, late night stuff. Now,
what you guys are doing, you know.
How did you, well, if you need a podcast, let us know, you know. How did you wind up on Housewives? That's what I was trying to think. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. How did you end up on such a big show like this?
You know, it just came to me. I was at a party, and I met somebody called Jill Zarin. And Jill Zarin was this bold, redheaded Long Island girl, you know, with that Long Island thick accent. And I had just moved back from Europe. And I'd been gone for like 12 years. So I just never met anybody like that. I didn't know anybody from Long Island. And her accent just cracked me up. And she was authentic. And I really liked her because she was authentic. She wasn't trying to be, because I got a lot of that with people that wanted to be around me and my French aristocratic husband. And, you know, so I just found her so real and so authentic. And I really liked her. And we exchanged numbers. And then I went to Europe for, I don't know, a month on holiday. And I came back and I saw her an email from her saying that she was doing this TV show and that I'd be perfect for it. And, you know, that's been my background. You know, I used to work for Italian television. And so I was like, oh, great. Okay. And so I called her and I met the producers of Housewives. At the time, it was called Manhattan Moms. And that's how I got started on the Housewives. It really just kind of came to me.
We had Jill on a couple weeks ago. She was phenomenal. Such a good interview. But it sounds like if the timing was right, it sounds like she would come back. And I mean, what do you think if Jill was back on the show?
I love Jill. I'm always, you know, I'm always having her on the show. Like whenever there's a party or there's a thing, and I always invite Jill and try to get her back in, you know, the mix. And you know, it's up to the Bravo gods, right? It's up to certain Bravo people. And I just, you know, I'm always rallying for her to come back. So we'll see.
Kelly Bensimone's been working it lately. You know, Kelly's, you know, obviously with the A-Rod story. And then we're seeing a lot of photos of her in Daily Mail. Then we just saw photos of her in Aspen. What are your thoughts about her? You know, do you think she's trying to come back to the Housewives or really trying to?
No, I don't think so. I think Kelly's into her real estate thing. I think that, you know, for certain people, it's just, you know, it can be too much. It's a lot, you know, there's a lot of drama, a lot of stress aside from the fun, you know, it's a big job. And I think, you know, Kelly, you know, when she left, she kind of decided this is maybe not for her. So I don't think she's interested. Maybe I'm wrong.
Adam, because again, sorry, we just had her on as well. Didn't she say that she would come back as well?
She said she would come back, but I feel like in my opinion, yeah, she did. But Luann, this is my opinion. Like, I feel like obviously she's doing her real estate and she's doing well with it. And then you saw the A-Rod story and she's somehow getting photographed all the time. Somehow they saw her being photographed in Aspen and her snow pants.
Adam, do not knock people. You know, we are all about people doing their thing, you know, keeping the press going. I would never knock someone for calling paparazzi. That's what you got
to
do.
I think it's the best thing for her to do. I think it's very smart for her brand, for her career. So I just think she, in my opinion, I feel like she's trying to itch her way back on the show. And I feel like the show, I don't think it could use it, but it's like, it's not, I wouldn't be mad if she came back on the show.
I don't think so. I think she's gorgeous and she's a great eye candy. And and I think, you know, people deserve another chance in life. You know, I feel like, for example, those pictures that you saw of me on the beach, I didn't call a photographer. So, you know, I was just a surprise. I was so surprised. I was like, wait a second, where's the guy with the long lens here? Because, you know, They were okay pictures, but they weren't my greatest bikini shots. Let's put it that way.
What goes through your mind? Because obviously I'm not a celebrity. I'm not getting my photo taken on the beach. And I feel that I can be self-conscious or ridicule myself. Do you feel like the second you see a Google alert come up, are you like, oh boy, like what are these photos going to look like?
Are you scared? Like, actually, when you see those photos, does it freak you out a little bit? Like, what the hell? Like, who's spying on
me? It does because I just think here I am being private and alone, you know, and so I feel, you know, there's a certain sense of feeling taken advantage of because, you know, they're selling these photographs that I have not given them permission to take. And so, you know, or did I have any knowledge that they were taking them? So, you know, it never feels good to not, you know, be in the driver's seat and, you know, have someone taking pictures of you and you're totally unaware of it.
But on the other side, have you seen a photo set that went out there? You were like, damn, Luanna, looking good.
Sometimes. Sometimes. You know, and a lot of people do call their own photographers. A lot of celebrities do that all the time.
Yeah.
So at least if they're going to have a picture, here's a good one. Instead of crappy one, you're going to try to sneak on the beach, you know.
I think it's the smartest thing to do. Luann, when it comes to casting for the show, do you have any input on casting, or do you have a good enough relationship with Bravo now where to say, listen, I know a girl, she'd be great on the show. Can you actually pull the strings to get her an audition or a meeting with Bravo?
Oh, you know, sure. I mean, listen, we've all had friends that we've, you know, wanted to have on the show. And I think, you know, we don't make the ultimate decision, obviously, but, you know, we kind of do weigh in here and there on, you know, people. Of course it makes a big difference if somebody knows you, you know, because that changes everything, especially if they know me and Sonia and Ramona. And so let's like Dorinda, for example, Dorinda made a great, you know, addition to the cast and we all knew her. So yeah, there's a certain, amount that we do get to weigh in on.
What do you think? Sorry, I just thought about this question, but what do you think you'd be doing right now if you didn't quit nursing all those years ago?
Well, listen, I quit nursing when I decided to move to Europe as a model in New York. Because, you know, I heard all the models talking about Europe, Milan and Paris. And I was like, I want to go to these places. And so, you know, I didn't want to lose on that opportunity. And so, you know, of course, you know, nursing is a whole another thing that I love doing. And I did, you know, for 3 years before I moved to Europe, even in New York City, I was a nurse/model. So, you know, there was model/waitresses, model/actresses. But that was my secondary a job, you know, to make ends meet because, you know, I wasn't working all the time as a model. So, but when I went to Europe, that was, you know, the time that I stopped, you know, nursing and then eventually just found television, you know, through, you know, being in the right place at the right time. I met Diane Furstenberg's husband, Egon, at a party in Europe. And he said, what are you doing here in Italy? And I said, I'm trying to model, but it's not going very well. And he said, meet my friend, Johnny Manganelli. He lives in Roma. So Johnny Manganelli goes, come to Roma, bella americana, I give you a job. So I went to Rome, I followed up, and I got a job like being the Vanna White of Italian television. So that's how I started my TV career.
So awesome.
I know, I was like turning letters. I didn't have to say anything. I was like, oh, okay. And then I realized if I speak Italian, that I could, you know, really go far in the television world. And that's what happened. And, you know, and then I was skiing with my Italian boyfriend in Switzerland and I met my French husband. So there you go.
That's amazing. In New York City, who was the one celebrity that you run into the most?
Oh my gosh. Run into the most, you know, I don't know, Don Lemon, Carson Kressley.
Where do you see Don Lemon usually?
Yeah, you know, Don is my neighbor in the Hamptons. Okay. And I love Don and Carson and I are good friends. And I probably see them the most in New York. And gosh, who else do I see a lot of? To think about that. Well, you know, Kristen Chenoweth, you know.
Yeah. Do you see, I mean, I feel like everyone, do you see, do you run into Andy a lot?
Andy, I don't run into because he lives way downtown and I live way uptown. So it's we cross getting coffee in the morning, but you know, we're in touch. He just said, he just did a great video for my Fosé because he loves my Fosé Rosé.
Yeah, your Fosé, which is the non-alcoholic wine, is doing, you know, it was recently released. What was, you're sober now. So was that really the inspiration behind it?
Listen, I take it day by day in my life because, you know, you only have one today, right? So when I came up with it, it was like, oh my gosh, was it last summer or the summer before even when COVID first started? I remember it was that summer. And my daughter and I were looking for options out there and we didn't find anything that we liked. So that's when we had the idea to create our own. And I love it because it's exactly what we wanted in terms of the tastes. We went through, you know, tastings and the whole thing. And what I really wanted was an elevated bottle looking bottle so that you could be at a party and whether you're having Fosé or a Whispering Angel, you know, they look similar and I wanted them to be similar in color. And in fact, my friend owns the brand Whispering Angel. So that's why I bring it up because he's a French, you know, a friend of mine who lives in the south of France who created Whispering Angel. And I wanted something that mimicked wine, looked like wine and tasted good, which was low calorie and had really good ingredients. And this is what we made. And, you know, I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. My fans are really loving it. Like I said, Andy just posted about it because I've been sending, you know, some bottles to some celeb friends of mine and everybody's loving it. And, you know, and what's better than that? I mean, to create something. And I think there was a real niche in the market for something like that. You know, there's a lot of other products out there, but not one that you can order, you know, I'd be out with friends and I'd have a Perrier and they're like, you know, friends don't mind. But then, you know, people at the other table, like, oh, she doesn't drink. You know, there's such a stigma around it that I wanted to take that stigma kind of away and be like, I'll have a Fosé, you know, and have a beautiful bottle and not, and feel like you're part of the party. Even if you're not, you know, drinking and it's not for people that don't drink it at all. You can also have a glass of rosé and then you can have a glass of Fosé. And I gave it to a girlfriend of mine once who loves to drink her rosé. And she didn't really realize she wasn't drinking real rosé. So that's a great, you know, nod to how good it is as a faux wine.
You know, yeah. It's funny because you know, I guess I hadn't processed all the situations that it could really work in. And as you're talking about it, I'm like, it makes so much sense. It's brilliant because there are a lot of people out there that, you know, whether you're sober or you're just not into drinking, whatever the case is, you do want to be a part of the crowd and you want to be there with your friends and you don't want to feel like the one drinking an iced tea while everyone's pouring back their wine. And I think that's so smart to have people feel included and, you know, and really enjoy that. So brilliant on your, you know, this idea of non-alcoholic wine. I really, I know I actually fell in love with it as you were talking about it.
And really it's smart. Not like you're taking wine and taking the alcohol out of it. Yeah. It's built on all these amazing ingredients, which, I mean, even has like some tannins. So it has that little, you know, that little bitter taste. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gosh, the list of ingredients. I mean, there's not that many ingredients in it, but they're all, you know, berry and low calorie, which is really important to me. I want, you know, I want it to be low calorie because, you know, I've been at the mercy of mocktail people who are making mocktails and, you know, either they're sugary, they're not the right taste. And so, you know, this takes all of that away and you have something ready to go that's brought to the table and there's no guesswork in it. So that's what I love about Fosé.
And what sparked your sober life was just, I want a lifestyle change. I need to healthy up. Cause I feel like that's what a lot of people is. Oh, I can, you know, just have a healthy lifestyle. Like, what was it that sparked it for you?
And I want to ask you something. This sounds, I just want to learn. I say this from a learning thing and because I'm not familiar. Do you, like, you're sober now. Do you consider yourself an alcoholic or do you consider yourself a person who?
I try not to label myself, you know, I really don't. I don't want to label myself. So I take it day by day. Obviously my goal is to not drink. And so this is why I made, you know, Fosé.
Yeah, no, that's, I get it. And what other, like, obviously you're touring, you got the wine now. It's some part, I think it's actually one of those ideas that's so smart that you actually like hit yourself. Like, why didn't I think about this sooner? It's because it's a great idea. And I love the name as well. Is there any other business adventures that you're also trying to get into besides this?
And like, you know, moment? Well, you know, for the moment, I'm just enjoying that this is doing well and everybody's, you know, loving the product. And, you know, who knows, maybe I'll make, you know, other drinks, not just the Fosé. And, you know, I've always got some other things in the works and I'm actually working on a book, which is a long time coming. Really, it's a memoir. And so I've got a lot of different projects, but between Cabaret, working on the show, hopefully coming soon, and the Fosé in the book. I'm, you know, I got my hands full, and I have children too, so you know. And
so with you know, with obviously the pandemic and Housewives was put on hold there for a little bit. Did all the cast members stay in contact through that time of no filming?
Oh yeah, I mean, I just got a text from Sonia. Hey, where are you girls? Spoke to Leah recently. So we stay in touch. We, you know, we have a group text message, you know, thing, and we, you know, and we talk. And so, you know, we had a little bit of a hiatus, but we'll be back.
And there was no reunion.
No, there wasn't. I feel like we just got to, the season ended. We were all kind of at a good place. I was traveling, everybody was kind of all over the place and, you know, we, like I said, we landed on a good place at the end of the season. And I think because of how late everything landed that, you know, it's just the timing was off. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to next season.
Yeah.
And were you in town for New Year's, by the way, or were you in Mexico?
I was in Mexico already.
Oh, you missed all the craziness on CNN with Andy and
I was like, did he get his Fosé yet?
Right, that would have been a perfect moment. hey guys, you're getting a little goofy. We need to hand you over. I personally enjoy all of the craziness. I love watching people get drunk on TV. It is one of my favorites. So I had nothing negative to say about that. I was just curious if you got to watch all of that.
No, I didn't even see it, but you know, I heard about it. part of the yoga retreat is we don't have TVs.
Oh,
that's good. That's nice. Probably the best part. Luann, we want to do a thing where we do what ifs with you. It's a quick game. Just kind of see, you know, pick your brain real quick and just a quick fun answers. You know, so what if you were stuck on a deserted island with one cast member from Real Housewives of New York? Who would it be?
Well, let's see. I guess it'd have to be Sonia.
Okay.
Because she makes me laugh.
She makes me laugh too. If you never moved to New York, where do you think you would be right now?
Oh my gosh. If I never moved to New York, I'd probably still be in Connecticut.
Okay.
That's true.
New York changes your life.
Yeah. If you could go to one restaurant in New York City, what would it be?
Le Bernardin.
I've never been there. It's good.
Oh yeah. Well, it's Eric Repair. He's like,
yeah.
And he's a friend. So.
Adam, next time I'm out, we're going. Okay.
Oh my God. Le Bernardin. You have to go.
Yeah. It's,
if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
To fly.
If you had one last cabaret show to perform, where would you want to perform it at?
Probably the Chicago Theater.
Okay.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah. How many seats like in that place?
4,000 people.
Oh, nice.
It was awesome. I played there and it was one of my favorite shows because it's the theater is so epic and gold gilded and, you know, and it was the biggest audience I've ever had. So
if you were to host a celebrity dinner party, who would be like the top five celebs you'd want to have at a dinner party?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't imagine. Well, like I said, Don, Kristen Chenoweth.
You don't have to know these people. They could be just whoever you want, your celebrity faves that you would love to have a dinner party.
Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Barbra Streisand. And we need another guy. And Brad Pitt.
Nice. I like it. Okay.
What if I went through?
They don't know each other.
What if I went through your phone and went through your DMs? Who would be the one person I saw on the DMs that'd be like, man, that's pretty awesome?
Oh my gosh!
I like looking at you as you think about this answer. You're like,
I know.
That means there's a lot of DMs flowing in. I'm guessing.
Thinking, right, Sam? Who? My girl who helps me with social media, I'm like, who? There's so many. But not so many. I'm not that popular. but let's see. Kyle Richards.
That's a fun one.
That's cool.
I love Kyle.
Well, you guys are legends. Yeah, yeah.
If you could travel back in time and change one thing, what would that one thing be?
Back in time and change one thing, what would that one thing be? I think maybe blue eye color.
You got to travel way back in time to when you were like a zygote.
Yeah.
Change my genetics.
Don't it make my brown eyes blue?
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, Luann. I just
that's a good song for me. Right, gotta write that down.
Write it down. Yeah.
Who's actually? Are you working on any, like, you've done duets with some really fun people? Is there anybody you're working on, like, in the potential of talks to maybe work on a song together at all?
You know, not at the moment. I mean. In the past, I've had some, you know, talking about remixes of my music, etc. But, you know, like most recently, Kristen Chenoweth was going to come into one of my shows and we wanted to do something together. And it just, with COVID, it just never happened. And she was at the Met. Anyway, who knows? I mean, last time I collaborated was Desmond Child, you know, on that song. And most recently was Billy Stritch and Bruce Roberts, you know, who made my new Christmas song.
Could there potentially be a song with you and Melissa Gorga?
She was just on the Ultimate Girls Trip with me.
Yeah.
She came up and I don't believe that she's still kind of like into the singing thing, right? Because we haven't heard a song from her in a while.
No.
So I don't know, but that could be interesting.
Yeah, that would be fun.
She's cute. She's adorable. Yeah.
Luann. So if people want to check out your wine, how can they get your wine right now?
So they can go to drinkfose.com. I'm going to be doing Talk Shop Live tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern time. So I have a link in bio on my Instagram that you can check out. But drinkfose.com is where you get the Fose. I'm doing Talk Shop Live tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's my first time. So looking forward to that. And I'm going to be in a new store. What is it called again, Sam?
Spirited Away.
Oh, Spirited Away, which has like 5 stores in New York City, mm-hmm. Which sell non-alcoholic beverages. So excited about that and got some distribution, you know, deals going on. And so, so drinkfose.com and check me out on Talk Shop Live if you're around tonight at 7, and we'll see you in Spirited Away. Actually, tomorrow night I'm doing an appearance in Spirited Away here in New York City. So
very cool.
You're a busy lady. Thank you for taking the time to stop by and chat with us. And good luck. I want to see Fose on all the different shelves out there everywhere because I really think it's a smart idea.
Thank you guys. You know, you got to try it because it's really delish. You'll be like, oh, now I understand.
I will get on. I will order because I want to support. So I'll order some and check it out for sure.
Oh, thank you guys.
Dax, thoughts?
I thought I liked her. I liked her. I'd never, you know, obviously I hadn't had any interactions with her over the years. So mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect, but I liked her. She's fun. I mean, dude, I wasn't lying when I said I actually really like the concept of her wine. Like I went into this like, oh God, we got to talk about someone's like non-alcoholic wine, like so random. But as she was talking, I'm like, that's a really smart idea because I have people in my life that can't drink. And for them, I know that it is awkward sitting at a table and when everyone else is getting drinks, not because it's necessarily like they know they don't want to be drinking, but like that feeling of everyone else just ordered, honestly, thought it was a good idea.
Well, you see what other people in the Bravo series have done. You know, Bethany Frankel was a skinny girl margaritas. Mm-hmm. You know, Kyle Cook from Summer House doing his Lover Boy. You know, these brands do well, you know, especially yep. with the Bravo platform behind it. So it's good to, as a entrepreneur, to take advantage of that. And it's good. I mean, listen, Luann is a, like I said on the podcast, she's a veteran of the Housewives franchise. She just did the Girls Trip, which is like the best girls kind of went on the Girls Trip. So she's doing her thing.
Living her life right now. Just got back from Mexico. It was so funny when she was talking. I was like, this sounds like the bougiest Mexico trip I've ever heard of. Like,
for a few weeks. I mean, that's awesome. That's
a few weeks doing yoga and meditation. I'm like, oh, that must be a really expensive trip.
Yeah, that's something. It's a very expensive trip. But from what I know, I think she did very well from her first marriage. She got hit off very well. So,
well, she's successful in her own right. So yeah,
she's very successful. I take that back. She's very successful in her right from her burlesque shows, which I'm telling you, Dax, these shows are like so much in demand for her
yeah.
performances. Like it's a big deal when she performs. Like people go crazy.
Well, she's a big deal. Like I really like when I told people we're having Countess on, they got really excited. I mean, we've had a lot of housewives on our show. As funny as we're like, yep, Jill Zarin, yep, Kelly Benz. Like we've had a lot of housewives, but I think she's one of the most in demand housewives. Like everyone wants to talk to her.
Yes. Thank you, Luann, for coming on the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Leave a review on iTunes. The best thing to do. you know, just leave a review.
Support us, please. Yeah. We don't ask for money. We ask for reviews and 5-star ratings. That's it. But you got to do it on iTunes. It's super easy. Just go to iTunes, find Hollywood Raw, scroll down to the bottom, leave that review, please. We'll read one on the air, and as a little thank you, a token of our appreciation for you.
Yeah, we also have a private Facebook group and on our Facebook page, where if you have any questions, we'll give you the real dirt of what's going on. Some stuff we actually can't say in the podcast because for legal reasons, because people come after you. But we have a private Facebook group where we give all of the dirt. We're also on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We're on it all, especially we have these crazy behind the scenes celebrity videos that you can't find anywhere else. If you want to know what's really going on in Hollywood, LA, Miami, all what your celebrities are doing, follow us on those social media pages, because we have crazy good content that's really awesome. You can find me at Adam Glynn, GLYN. You can find Dax Holt, DAXHOLT. See you guys next time.
A Huda Media Production.